And we want to take some time now to look at Boston's plan for an addiction recovery campus on Long Island in Boston Harbor. Mayor Marty Walsh made a somewhat surprising announcement about this during his inaugural address last week.
I pledge to you today that we are and we will rebuild the bridge back to Long Island. And we will create on Long Island the comprehensive long-term recovery campus that our city and our state needs now more than ever to tackle the opioid crisis.
The mayor says rebuilding the bridge could cost between $40 and $100 million. The original bridge to the island was abruptly shut down 3 years ago because it was not safe. The closure forced the shutdown of hundreds of beds for the homeless and for substance use treatment. And some in Quincy, where the bridge was located, are saying to Mayor Walsh, not so fast. They're concerned about traffic, and they say they want to be part of any talks about future bridge development. We spoke with Quincy Mayor Tom Coker earlier today, and we asked him why he does not support the plan to rebuild the bridge to Long Island.
Well, first of all, I think very highly of Mayor Walsh. I consider him, obviously, he's a colleague and a friend, and I admire his role in the world of trying to make a difference in addiction. So we've had a lot of discussions over the years on those issues. So we're on the same page with our commitment to addiction, and certainly I have no problem with Long Island being used for some of those programs.
But
my issue is access. And, you know, when I look right now at what we're doing statewide, and the governor has a commission going for a new Boston Harbor water transportation system, which Secretary Pollock, the transportation secretary, has been working on. I know certainly I've been engaged. I'm sure Tom McGee, Mayor of Lynn's, been engaged, and others, where we have cities all across the world that take full advantage of water transportation, and we are waterfront communities, and we don't do that very well, and we're going in that direction now. And I think this would be the perfect time to look at a beautiful new terminal for ferry service right out of Long Island. In fact, that could become the hub for the whole service for the entire harbor. So I think it's time we looked at that seriously, and I think that if there's – listen, I have no control, nor should I have an opinion on how Boston spends their money. However, if the state and federal money involved, I would certainly advocate the state and federal government look at a ferry system that would be far less expensive than the bridge. And I do believe that in my years of public service and my involvement in construction, that the numbers that have been thrown out there are very, very low for a bridge. My guess.
So the 40 to 100 million is too low?
That's correct. I would bet you somewhere between 150 and 200 million. And I've had conversations with a lot of engineers. The four of a bridge was just done for 240 million. Now that has a lift component, but if we're looking at a bridge, probably if you actually get through the permitting, it's probably 4 or 5 years out. So when you talk about inflation, my guess is you're in that range. I think you could do an awful lot for water transportation for less than half of that money, probably a third.
Well, you know, some folks say it's a ferry service would be much more expensive. Folks at Camp Harbor View, which is out on Long Island now, they say it costs about $500,000 to bring 900 campers and staffers out there for the summer. They also say because this is a medical facility, insurance may not reimburse because there needs to be 24/7 emergency access to the island. So there are some differences here because you're talking about a medical treatment facility, but not necessarily a hospital. And all kinds of other things. What do you say to those folks who say, no, actually, ferry service is much more than a bridge would be?
Let's sit down and have that discussion. Let's truly vet the facts on this, what the real numbers are, and let's have that discussion. The reality is if you've got that many beds in a facility out there, you're going to have clinicians, perhaps doctors and nurses, on the island anyway. If there's an emergency, so they're calling for an ambulance coming from Boston, you're coming from Boston, over the Neponset River, down Quincy Shore Drive, out East Squantum Street, the causeway, to Moon Island to the causeway, to Long Island over the bridge, to some building on Long Island. My guess is, you know, if there was that state of emergency, a ferry would be quicker. Or, you know, we have medical hospital helicopters that certainly are used in the region if you had a real emergency. So I think all of those things should be on the table and discussed and properly vetted before people take these positions based on numbers that haven't been proven to me in any factual way.
Hmm. Now, Mayor Walsh, in a Boston Globe editorial this week, 1 week after he announced his plan, wrote that he was disappointed by the negative response, and he seemed to kind of be talking about you a little bit, and he said he was also disappointed by what he called this not-in-my-backyard paranoia. What do you say to folks who accuse you of NIMBYism?
Well, I don't think they know me, and I don't think they know Quincy. You know, I'm not going to take a backseat to anybody in how our community has embraced the addiction fight and challenge. I'm not going to put up with that from anybody. To me, the issue here is transportation/access. That is the issue.
Mm-hmm. So essentially what you're saying is that it might be cheaper to do this with ferries, with ferry service as opposed to a bridge. That's the main thing.
I believe it could be much cheaper, number one. Number two is the bridge is built, and the mayor left his, I know in the story, that the column that Joan Vernocchi wrote, he left it open that there could be further development out there. That concerns me for far more traffic going through this narrow route to get to the island. So that concerns me. If we're going to have the discussion, then let's put all our cards on the table.
So traffic is another main issue. What's traffic like in that neighborhood now?
Again, you're coming through a very narrow stretch. You go from Squanum Street, narrows down to Dorchester Street, and then takes a hairpin turn to get up to where the entrance to Moon Island is. And there's homes all along there, right on the back of sidewalk, very tight. So traffic is a major, major issue. And if the development continues on Long Island, that's only going to add to that traffic burden, which creates more of a problem for not only that that neighborhood, but certainly other people traveling the roads of North Quincy into Boston. So it's a combination of issues, but all relating to access.
So traffic is an issue, not just if this becomes a recovery campus, as the mayor has suggested, but also you are concerned about this possibility that's been floated of perhaps more development on Long Island than just a recovery campus, because it is prime waterfront real estate near the city.
Beautiful location, 250 acres. And I don't want to put words in his mouth, because he's never discussed with me anything about development out there, but he left that door open in his comment in the Vernocchi column in the Globe, and so that concerns me.
Now, you say you want Quincy to have a seat at the table. What do you mean exactly? What are you looking for?
We're the access point. No matter how you slice this thing, Long Island access comes through Quincy. So, you know, and the mayor did indicate that, you know, he'd have further discussions with me, slash the city, about the process going forward.
That was Quincy Mayor Tom Koch, who we spoke with earlier today. Listeners, we want to hear from you. Should Boston rebuild the bridge to Long Island? Should there be an addiction recovery campus on the island? Should Quincy have a say? Call us at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston. We want to say that we did reach out to Mayor Walsh, but he was not available today. With us instead from the city of Boston is Chris Odgood. He's the chief of streets, transportation, and sanitation. Thanks for being with us, Chris.
Deborah, it's my pleasure.
So tell us about this plan to rebuild the bridge to Long Island.
Sure. So the mayor is very committed to strengthening the continuum of care for those who are battling with addiction. And part of that is building a comprehensive long-term recovery campus on the island. And core to that plan is rebuilding Long Island Bridge to ensure that we've got a reliable connection to the services that are going to be on the island.
Mm-hmm. So how big of a bridge? Would it be just like the old one? How many lanes? What are we talking? Do we know yet?
So it will be very similar to the old one. The entire span is about 3,400 feet long. The original bridge, as you may know, was built in 1951. As you pointed out, it was closed in 2014. What we'd be looking to do is build a bridge that is, again, very similar to that original bridge, similar in size, in scale, in programming. That would mean there'd be a lane in each direction on the bridge, sidewalks on both sides, and passage for boats beneath.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you just heard our conversation with Quincy Mayor Tom Koch, who says a couple of things. First of all, he thinks that the $40 to $100 million estimate that's been discussed about this bridge is a little low. He thinks it might be more like $150 to $200 million for this bridge. What are you thinking this bridge is going to cost?
Sure. We're actually quite confident in our estimate for the cost of the bridge. There's a number of reasons for that. First of all, it won't be a movable bridge. Movable bridges do cost more than those that are fixed. Also, the piers actually exist. There's 12 piers from the original bridge, which are still in the water that would be able to leverage for the new bridge. And a lot of the utilities that would go on typical bridges have actually already been addressed as part of previous investment efforts. Mm-hmm. So we believe that that range is correct, and we would estimate that right now the cost of the bridge would be around $80
million. $80 million. Where would the funding come from?
So a principal source of the funding will be something which is called the Parking Meter Fund. This is revenue, which, as the name indicates, quite literally comes from parking meters in the city of Boston.
And that's why I always get a ticket, Chris.
So that money basically is dedicated to go to transportation-related investments and programs. So everything from bus lanes or bike lanes or better sidewalks to things like bridges. So right now we're looking at allocating around $30 million from the Parking Meter Fund for this project. And over the course of this year and next, we'll be building out what a funding plan would look like for the bridge as a whole.
Mm-hmm. And what about Mayor Koch's suggestion that ferry service be looked at instead, and that might be a more a less expensive way of doing this?
Sure. So I certainly appreciate that point. The reason that we're looking at a bridge is simply because a bridge is the most reliable connection to these core services. What is going on the island, again, is sort of a comprehensive long-term recovery campus. That's going to mean treatment beds and transitional supports. And these are really critical services for people in the city of Boston and across the region that need to be relied on every day of the year, no matter what the weather is. The most effective and reliable way we can get people to and from these core services every single day is with a bridge. And that means getting staff there, getting clients there, getting supplies there. It also means responding to medical emergencies if they are to occur.
Is it it accurate that some insurers might not cover treatment that's going on out there if there is not reliable emergency access?
So the medical sort of insurance question may be better for Jen Tracy, who mm-hmm. you'll speak to in a moment. But it is very clear for us that these are services which are going to be depended on by lots of people, and that we want to make sure that we've got a reliable connection. And just as relevant note, the Hingham Ferry, which is a fantastic commuter service within our harbor, has been out of commission for a number of days this year as a result of this weather and of course we've had some pretty extreme weather over the last couple of weeks, but we want to make sure that no matter the weather that people can always get to the campus that we're creating at Long Island.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering also, Norfolk County GA Michael Morrissey and Quincy Mayor Koch say that there really is a longer range plan here to use Long Island for other development aside from an addiction recovery campus. Are there other development plans, or is that an option that's on the table?
So the mayor's focus is really on building this comprehensive recovery campus here on the island, and that's really why we're building the bridge. The bridge is to serve the island, and that's entirely our focus right now.
Mm-hmm. I asked Mayor Walsh about the bridge to Long Island back in October when I was doing a story about the mayoral race and Mayor Walsh's efforts in the opioid epidemic, and the office emailed a statement to me saying, quote, "We need to see and address the problem. Opening the bridge back up does nothing to solve the addiction problem, though. We need the funding to be able to open programs out there." So do you know, have any idea, Chris, what might have changed in 3 months?
Sure. So I think over the course of the last several years, obviously there's been a tremendous amount of investment by the city and by a whole host of partners, and you'll hear more from Jen on this in a bit, in restoring recovery beds within the city through in partnership with many, many other organizations, improving our outreach services and opening an Office of Recovery Services. We are now at a point where we believe we've got the funding which will allow us to rebuild the bridge and reinvest in the campus that's already there so that we can open up that as the next part of our continuum of care.
All right. Chris Osgood, Chief of Streets, Transportation, and Sanitation for the City of Boston. Thanks so much. I understand Jen is with you right now.
She is. I will get her on the line.
All right. So joining us to talk further about this is Jen Tracy. She's Director of the Office of Recovery Services for the City of Boston. Jen, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Deb.
Hey, can you tell us just briefly how many beds and what exactly is a long-term recovery campus that might be on Long Island to build the bridge to?
So, thanks. We're really excited about this opportunity, and we think it's once in a lifetime. So, as far as the amount of beds, that's going to be forthcoming. We're pulling together partners, city, state, private partners, and really to get the details of the actual services, how many beds, and what the continuum of care will look like.
And so basically, though, what you're thinking of is a long-term continuum of care that would include from folks right at the beginning entering detox all the way through till they're doing just sort of supportive housing, correct?
Well, that's the basic continuum of care as we know it. But again, we're going to be looking at all that. So there are services that we have built and that have changed in the last 4 years since the bridge went down. The epidemic has played a major role in changing the picture of what types of services we know that we need now. Maybe that was different than 4 years ago. So we're really going to work with our partners in multiple sectors to think what is the most innovative, state-of-the-art continuum of care with this piece of land, which we wouldn't be able to access in any other way in Boston, and how are we going to look forward with this epidemic and addiction and support people in their recovery?
So at this point, it's still being drawn up, would you say?
Correct.
Okay. There was talk about locating a recovery campus on the Shattuck Hospital site. What became of that idea, and why was there a switch to Long Island? I don't know if you've heard me ask Chris, but I had been speaking with Mayor Walsh about opioids when I was doing a story about the mayoral election, and he said at that point back in October, opening the bridge back up, quote, does nothing to solve the addiction problem. We need the funding to be able to open programs out there. What's changed since then, Jen?
Well, I think the mayor's commitment, the mayor doesn't make this type of commitment easily. He, as you know, has made recovery a big commitment of his administration and has taken, the time to think about his moves in that first opening the Office of Recovery Services, as you know, to really be the first office in the country to be, a mayor's level office to look at the continuum of care, the access to care issues, what people in the city of Boston and beyond, quite frankly, need. And so I think the mayor's commitment, if people know him, is one of the biggest signals to as to what's different now. Well, of course, we'll need to meet with all of our state and local and private partners to start to map out what are the services, what's covered by insurance, what's not, what kind of role do private and public organizations want to play in helping us map out this really state-of-the-art, exciting opportunity to respond to the opioid epidemic.
Now, some have suggested that putting this out on Long Island is hiding the addiction problem by not giving people more of an opportunity to integrate while they're in recovery and sort of isolating people on an island where they're not as visible. What do you say to folks who, these have been printed and tweeted and everything else? I'm sure you're aware of these concerns. What would you say to folks?
Well, again, I'm going to say, we in Boston, we know recovery. And, with Mayor Walsh as a leader, we know the type of opportunity that Long Island gives us to provide an oasis for folks to stabilize and to get their feet back on the ground. And we actually look at this as an opportunity that's going to be helpful. And that's going to provide people with stability that sometimes in and around the city that they don't find in the same way. So what works for different people, sometimes folks like to get away from their community. Some people are going to choose to, a nice continuum of care in one place in a serene and tranquil setting to experience their recovery.
Okay. Jen Tracy, Director of the Office of Recovery Services for Boston. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And I also want to have weigh in on this. Someone who is actually operating a program out on Long Island. It's Camp Harbor View, a summer camp for Boston's underserved neighborhoods. Every summer, the camp brings about 900 campers and staff to the island. And on the line from Florida is Jack Connors. He's chair and co-founder of Camp Harbor View. He also serves on the boards of Boston College and the Red Sox Foundation and is a founding partner of the marketing and communications company Hill Holiday. Hi there, Jack.
How are you, Deborah?
So describe the island just very briefly. A lot of people may not realize how big it is.
So it's plus or minus 240 acres.
Mm-hmm.
It's got an amazing history. It was a Civil War training facility for the Union Army. It was a tuberculosis hospital nearly a century ago when folks needed to be quarantined. It was...
So we can't get into the history too much because we don't have a lot of time. You ferry about 900 campers plus staff every summer. How much does that cost and how does that work? And do you think ferrying folks to a large recovery campus on the island would be feasible?
So we have, trying to answer your question in order, we have 900 campers, 90 staff. We put 450 kids there in July, another 450 in August with a 90 staff in July and in August. We're about to enter year 12. And in terms of having folks in recovery there, actually, if you go back to our beginning, there were already folks in recovery there. So it's nothing new for us to be neighbors with folks that are recovering.
Mm-hmm. And so do you think, though, that this has been talked about, Jack, that this is actually rebuilding the bridge is actually part of a plan for future development on Long Island, not just a recovery center? And how might that affect your camp?
Well, we have a long-term lease, Deborah, so I'm not really worried about future development. I think it probably makes a lot of sense for the mayor to consider development opportunities over time. But our focus is on providing a great, safe, and enjoyable experience for the kids in the summer, and it's been well received. It costs us about $5 million a year, $5.5 million a year to run the camp, and we've been able to raise that and more each year to the point where we now have an endowment for these kids. So we've got a successful mission on our hands, thanks to the leadership of all the people that are involved in it, led by Sharon McNally, who's our president, and we're feeling pretty good about it. I think that what the mayor is talking about is kind of interesting because I'm also on the board of something called RISE, which is trying to deal with this opioid epidemic. And yesterday we lost 6 people in Massachusetts. Today we'll lose 6 to death from opioid addiction, and tomorrow we'll lose another 6. So I find it kind of interesting that someone's thinking about how to deal with this emergency and recognizing that people don't want to deal with it in their own backyard. So I think this makes a great deal of sense.
Okay, Jack, stay on the line with us a minute because we have a lot of callers who want to weigh in here and talk about their thoughts about this plan. So please stay with us. First, I want to read a response that we got on Twitter. Ed Lyons says, I think this bridge to Long Island is a great idea. A bridge may make all kinds of future projects possible. And also we have Jessica on the line with us who's calling from Mattapan. Jessica, you're on the air. Jessica, are you with us? No, I think we may have lost Jessica. John is calling from Marshfield. John, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Hi.
Good, Jack, thank you for all your good work over the years. Listen, Mayor Quincy was being completely disingenuous in talking about the cost for a bridge. The Four River Bridge is a four-lane state highway vertical lift bridge. He's just trying to distract because he wants to appease his constituents in Squanton who just want to go back to being a nice seaside neighborhood, but it really hasn't been a nice seaside. It was a nice seaside neighborhood even when the bridge was there. Quincy politics is a clown show.
Well, aside from Quincy politics, though, do you think that this bridge should be rebuilt and a recovery campus should be put on there?
I mean, the city of Quincy, first of all, the city of Boston owns Long Island, and for another municipality to be dictating how the city of Boston should run their own property smacks of paternalism. Well, I can't say paternalism, but a weird sort of NIMBYism. Listen, Quincy has enough problems on their own that they shouldn't have to worry about a bridge that's been in place that was in place from the 1950s to 2012.
Okay. All right.
All you're doing is putting that in the bridge. And also, please remember, the infrastructure for these facilities is already out in Long Island. This is not going to be like ground-up construction. You're doing a bridge plus a new hospital. You're just you probably have to renovate, but you're reusing the facilities that are there.
Okay, John, thanks so much for your call. I want to get to more callers here. Jessica is calling from Mattapan. Jessica, you're on the, I think
Hi.
You're back with us. You're on the air. You know, it's my understanding you actually worked on Long Island before the bridge was closed.
I did, yes.
And so let's talk about that infrastructure. Is it okay out there?
There were some buildings that had areas that we didn't utilize, but as a whole, I feel like it was the perfect place for people to recover. You could get all services out there, and it was a great sense of community. And right after the bridge was closed, that's when you saw the area that they referred to as Methadone Mile and all of that get so bad on Mass Ave. And so many people relapsed and lost this sense of home, basically. Like, some people would get out and go to Wyman Reentry and learn how to transition back into society from jail. And if they messed up, they might end up at the shelter. And then if they wanted to get help, they could go over to Andrew's house and go to detox and then go on to their TSS program. I actually still currently work for a TSS program that was originally located on the island, and we're now located in Mattapan.
Mm-hmm. And so you think it should be reopened?
Do
you think there's
disheartening even?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Hello. Oh, it's very disheartening even for clients. I actually just had a discussion with clients the other day that was saying that they really hope that the development doesn't go to something else and that it remains a recovery campus. And it's really disheartening to hear that that it's even being thought of being used for anything other than what it was used for. It was the perfect place.
But could there be room? But Jessica, could there be room for further development, particularly if it could fund a bridge and some other things out there? If you've got 250 acres, sounds like quite a bit of space to me.
What else would they want to build, and how would, you know, if it's going to be businesses or if it's going to be some type of waterfront, like resort or anything like that, like how are they going to feel about having addiction services all over the island? Much of the island was being utilized. All of the buildings were being utilized. There was an area where they had a farm that was beautiful. The people from the shelter would work on the farm, and then employees could partake in a farm share, which also brought more revenue onto the island for the programs.
Okay. Well, it looks like it's moving forward. Jessica, thanks so much for your call. Briefly, Jack Connors, last word. Quincy wants to be at the table to talk about rebuilding this bridge. Will Camp Harbor View be at the table, maybe?
Well, you know, I'm in the business of helping all these kids in the city. So my guess is we'll leave that up to other people to decide whether we belong at the table, but I'm hopeful that we will. One comment I'd like to make briefly, Deborah, is that the island finds itself in a very shallow area. So if people want to build ferry terminals there, we're going to have millions and millions of dollars worth of dredging to do to get any kind of good-sized ferries in there. So I think that this is an interesting model. It's a city asset, and we ought to take advantage of it. I'll let everybody else be the judge of how to do so, but we're really proud of what we have out there, and we're very grateful for the opportunity to talk to you and your listeners.
Okay, well, we're glad that you were able to talk with us. Jack Connors, chairman of Camp Harborview, founding partner of the marketing and communications company Hill Holiday, thanks for being with us.
Have a great day, everyone.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
You too. Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.